Mini episode 132 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the six Lounge mini episodes that comprise the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. I am joined by some of our finest FDH Lounge dignitaries for this occasion. The Pantheon is our celebration of the best from all walks of life. All previous FDH Lounge Pantheon inductees can be found on our homepage at thefdhlounge.com. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcasts as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the sixth class of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Okay, FDH Lounge Pantheon 6. We are in non-sports part 2 as Anthony is giggling about his little joke over there in the corner. Rick Morris, Bob Glassman, John Adams, Anthony Patrone, Matt Patrone. We've now had complete turnover here during the course of this reporting. Yeah, because Tim Faust and Tom Denk started the day with us here, and I knew this was going to happen, where the crew is turning over during the day. John is the latest to join us here, so we're getting a nice turnover as we go along.
You missed the cheddar brats.
Oh, wow. There's half a cheddar brat left.
Mr. Flatstick, I'm sure he had his share of cheddar brats.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Flatstick, Tom Denk, was enjoying. He loved. You know what? I got to hand it to him. Among the people that I am thanking and giving credit to here, as mentioned previously, taping this at the Morris family abode, I knew this would be more suitable than my own home, so my dad turned over the house to me here today, and Tom Denk manning the grill artfully earlier while he was here, so we appreciate that for Mr. Flatstick.
Beautiful Oceanside Sea Room.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Lake Erie Side Sea Room.
We're here on the back patio recording this.
That I almost left when McDonald's won Best Chain Restaurant. Yes. I'm almost done.
As it just did, but we're getting
look.
Where are we? Johnny. Oh, we're definitely in America.
Yeah, Johnny is a little befuddled by that. John is befuddled. Yeah, your vote of Aladdin's, your elitist vote of Aladdin's. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Johnny's the kind of guy who tends to loathe the entire concept of chain restaurants. So,
indeed.
You know,
indeed.
Is there a place in Tremont that only serves tapas?
Oh, absolutely. The rest of the world calls them appetizers.
Yeah, we call them tapas. Well, along the lines of the exotic here, how's that for a transition? How's that for a segue? Yeah. Morris pulling out the segue again. Underpublicized vacation spot. In this segment, we're doing underpublicized vacation spot and album. This one, the winner of underpublicized vacation spot got two votes. So we always blow through the ones with one. This is everything except the winning category. We start with, and once again, showing you the full range and breadth of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Votes, so.
Well, there were a handful of people that didn't vote. There were three people that didn't vote, so this is 27 total. But, oh, this is all over the place. We start with Jekyll Island, Georgia. We move from there to the South Jersey beaches, a place called Cinqueterre, C-I-N-Q-U-E-T-R-R-E. One for Yellowstone National Park. One for Maine, and this has kind of gotten giggles when I've talked about this with people before, Milwaukee in the summer. It was stipulated in the summer.
Okay.
So one for that, yes. One for Carter Caves.
In the winter, it sucks.
Yeah. One for Carter Caves, Kentucky. One for Toronto. One for Iceland. One for Queenstown, New Zealand. A little fancy for this category, but you ain't heard anything yet. One for Adirondacks, New York. One for Mobile, Alabama. And here's the one.
with all due respect to our friend Ben Chu from the 21st Century Media Alliance,
OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
Ben, by definition, you cannot be underpublicized if you've hosted a freaking Summer Olympics. One vote for Barcelona, Spain.
What?
One vote for Barcelona.
Ben Chu, I love you, but dude,
is that
seriously,
by any measure that anybody can think of underpublicized?
That's highly publicized.
Ben, sorry, dude.
Yeah. It had a freaking Olympics. One vote for Calypso Island Cruises. One vote for Turkey. One vote for, as we discussed, Anthony saying North Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Well, that's a great place. And I'll say this really quick, simply because what I mean is just like 2 minutes to 5 minutes north of the boardwalk, there's only a few hotels there. It's an empty beach. It's a beautiful, nice place. If you just want to go without the crowd,
you could take your kids there, and you don't have to keep an eye. Well, you got to keep an eye on your kids, obviously, but you don't have to search for your kids if they tend to wander off because there's not millions of people there. Your kid can go out into the water, and you can still see them and not have to fight.
You can look down and look back up
kids.
And go, "Oh, look, there's my kid over there."
Yeah.
So that was a vote there. The other Patron brother, Matt Patron.
The best vote ever.
Taking the, one might say, the simple pleasures vote in bed. It was your vote. You know, so.
Hey, one way or the other, man.
Does that include a fortune cookie?
There's two things you can do in bed. So, if you got to ask, they're both the best.
Yeah.
Although on a serious note, I did choose a joke for that one because I kind of figured it was going to be highly unlikely for there to be an actual winner of this. And Ricky says there is one, and I just figured, well, I'll just throw that one in there. But with all of the ones, the votes for ones, and I knew that's what it was going to be. On another note, I'll say Tybee Island in Georgia.
Okay.
It's a great place. I never actually stayed there. I visited there when I was staying in Hilton Head. I liked Hilton Head. It was expensive, though, and there was really nothing to do. But when you got in Tybee Island, you had Savannah, Georgia right next to it. You had the lighthouse. You had the beach. Everything would just seem so peaceful out there. You could watch out and see the dolphins.
Johnny
swimming
loved
in the oceans.
Savannah. That was his vote, actually.
That was my vote.
Yeah.
Largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country.
Interesting.
Savannah was a great place. I really liked it. There was
very
a lot
cool
to do there. Mm-hmm.
And unlike the one in New York City, probably nobody marching in assless chaps in it, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah, nothing crotchless there.
Yeah.
Yes.
One vote for Frankenmuth, Michigan. One vote for Estes Park, Colorado. One vote for Tom Denk had voted for the U.S. National Park System. Bob, you voted for Northern Wisconsin.
Place near and dear to my heart, but as I was going to say, Anthony, my experience from spending a number of years there in my teens was also in the summertime, although I do have a good friend who goes cross-country skiing there in the winter, not my sport of choice, but if I would have said Minocqua, Woodruff, Rhinelander, probably wouldn't mean too much, probably about 4 hours north of Milwaukee. Temperate nights, beautiful lakes, and woman without morals.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The last one's
see,
the most
there's
important.
The bed. There's the bed. Yeah. You need the bed for some of this.
You're right, Matt.
cross-country skiing, that strikes me. Isn't that their mode of mail delivery in the winter?
Team of dog sleds. Yeah.
Is that where they get the Olympians for cross-country skiing? The mailmen from Wisconsin.
We got one vote for Ocean City, Maryland. One vote for, and this is of a regional thing that those of us in Ohio can appreciate, one vote for South Bass Island / Put-In Bay. My brother, Mike Morris, a member of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, who used to live in Ohio, obviously, voted for that one. One vote for Charlotte, North Carolina. And now we get to the winner, the only one that got two votes, myself and fellow Academy member Bob Benick, casting votes for Ogle Bay Resort, Wheeling, West Virginia. Nice
did
little
you go
place
together
there. We did not. We did not.
Holding hands, skipping through
the meadow. We did not. I should stipulate.
They wore their assless chaps there.
See, everything ties together in the FDH lounge.
And a coonskin cap.
Everything.
So you're all set.
Yeah. I did actually buy a coonskin cap in Wheeling, West Virginia one time, but that's another, that's an unrelated story. That was a trip that actually did not involve Ogle Bay. But that is, it's a great place to go. I've never been there in the winter for the Festival of Lights that they have over the holidays, but you got that. You got golf there. You got the paddle boats. And if you're staying there at the lodge, free omelet breakfast there. Yeah, an omelet chef, you know, for your breakfast. I think the putt-putt's free,
so you're
as well
saying,
as some nice golf courses.
So you're saying in the summer, not in the winter.
No, but they have the Festival
of
Lights.
You got to put that little coat in. I know some of my parents have been there for Christmas. They got some more lights, and it is great.
Festival of Lights in the winter.
I've heard it is great with the Festival of Lights down there. And I've seen video on it on TV and stuff and what they do for Christmas stuff down there and their ornaments. And it just looks great, and I'd love to get down there for the Festival of Lights for that.
Yeah, I've never been there for that part. I've wanted to go for it, haven't been there for that, but I've enjoyed it other times I've been there, and Bob Bennick just happened to be the one other person who agreed with me, and that was all it took.
But the way you were putting it, it sounded like you were putting the air quotes with it in the summer on it, with the paddle boats.
Well,
and
I was not. Well, that's the only times I've been there.
See, the other thing that I would say that wasn't mentioned, and I guess it's only because it's only two weekends a year, would be Farmer Bob's Campgrounds in Bristol, Tennessee.
Okay.
That's fun.
They've got anything you could possibly think of down there.
Okay.
From a bake shop to a little grocery store to bands to Skank Alley. So it's all there, you know.
From a bake shop to a baked shop?
Yes. Literally.
Yeah.
And then there's a racetrack across the street. So.
Yeah.
And there's the fastest half mile in NASCAR across the street.
There you go. Well, all these other ones were mere pretenders. Next to Ogle Bay Resort, we raised the Dundee Award.
Mere pretenders and a 2-1 vote.
Yeah. In a
landslide.
In a landslide, we induct the Ogle Bay Resorts into the FDH Lounge Pantheon. A veritable landslide.
Unfortunately, there was a kind of, if I would have actually casted my vote, there would have been a tie. Because I did say Tybee Island is kind of Savannah. It would have been a
well,
tie.
Well, where's Jekyll Island in relation to that? Is that close?
Well,
Russ Cohen voted for that. I've never heard
south,
of it.
South, I believe.
Upon arguing sure with himself over a number of these categories, Ricky is not going to let you change your vote.
Did you climb them big steps in between them buildings down there? The one, you go down the main strip in Savannah?
Yeah, and then you could go down by the river
talking
about?
Yep, down by the river. Yeah. And when you climb up the hill in between two of those buildings, their steps are like 3 or 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
We had to climb them just for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah. They've done a really nice job in that city of keeping the restoration of some of the older buildings, too.
Yeah. Really nice job in the restoration down there.
Yeah. So our final one to tackle in this second segment of non-sports, our penultimate segment of non-sports, is Best Album. We had a little bit more clumping up on this one here. There were a couple ones that got more than one vote. And more than two votes, actually, for that matter.
That's actually kind of surprising to me, too, because there's so many good albums out there.
So many different tastes
So many different tastes of music, so many different artists out there.
But it is spread out. It is still pretty spread out. We'll go through them here. Start with me. Mine was, 20 million people can't be wrong. I voted for A Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park.
I was really surprised that wasn't YMCA.
Well, we did. I'll jump ahead here and note that FDH Academy member Paul Pasek voted for the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
There was
something similar on that. There was a vote for Close to the Edge by Yes, that, of course, being Russ Cohen, who participated in the John Anderson interview that we did with there. I think Russ mentioned to John he had seen Yes in concert like 30 times. So
I know the one that Ricky should have picked.
Who?
Who did you interview?
Well, I should have. Oh, well.
There you go.
Steve Perry,
give me the name drop.
It's funny because I'm starting out doing these chronologically in order with when I get them, but I'm going to jump ahead again. There was a vote for Journey Escape, Steve Cervillo.
And you interviewed Steve Cervillo.
Yeah.
So it would have been two.
That shows you how much I love Hybrid Theory, doesn't it? One vote for Born in the USA. One vote for Nevermind. One vote for Appetite for Destruction. One vote, and Nate Noy, fellow Academy member and dignitary, incredulous that he cast the only vote for 1984. He thought I was a liar. He thought there was a groundswell. Where's all the 1984 votes? Well, Nate, you are the entirety of that.
It's a good album.
It was a good album.
But it wasn't a great
album. I wouldn't go as far as to say the band's best, even, but it was a really good album.
I'm going to just throw this one out here and see if you guys can guess on this. Only one group in this had three different albums mentioned. Anybody guess which?
It's got to be U2.
No, they only had one. Achtung Baby was the only one that was on it. That was your vote, actually.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
I would venture out to say Rush.
I was
no, sadly,
Rush.
There were no Rush representations
I was thinking that,
here.
But I want to say Led Zeppelin.
No.
Van Halen?
This is an interesting guessing game. No.
The Stones?
No. There were no Rolling Stones votes and no Zeppelin votes.
I have another Pink Floyd.
No Pink Floyd. Right, they were not named.
Let's move
was
along.
The Who?
No. Seriously, you guys are whittling this down to where like the next one or two votes should be it. It's a lot more obvious than you would think, really.
Beatles.
The Beatles, yes. Okay. The first of the three that the Beatles got. Boy, I didn't.
I was going for the Bee Gees. So
okay.
You better go for them quickly.
Yeah.
I was shooting for Village People.
Well, the first one that got listed was the White Album. That was the first one to get a vote. And then also there was a vote for Abbey Road. And then we get to one of the ones that got multiple votes, so we'll cover that later. But the White Album and Abbey Road each getting a vote apiece. One vote for Dookie by Green Day. One vote for 21 by Adele. One vote, Ken Beck's The Scout, voting for Funkatelli versus the Placebo Syndrome by Parliament.
What's up, Ken? Call me sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to like the Parliament vote in there. One vote from Anthony, Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
That was an see, the thing with that album is that's just an album you can just put in and sing every song on it.
And to be honest with you, being that I am his brother, I know that it is one of his favorite albums, mm-hmm. but it is not his favorite album. Motley Crue is his favorite band, but Saints of Los Angeles is his favorite album.
The only reason okay. I didn't go with Saints of Los Angeles is probably because 90% of the people voting have never heard of it.
Well, it's this other new. One here, speaking of one, similarly, I actually, this group got two votes, Balanced by Van Halen. You voted for that one, Matt.
Yeah, I am not 100% sure, but I heard it was their story of becoming sober.
Okay.
Van Halen coming sober.
I think it was, yeah.
I'm one of the youngest here.
Okay.
Not the youngest, but I've liked David Lee Roth and Van Halen.
Okay.
He was very energetic. He was very outgoing on stage. He had a great voice. But I think the range with Sammy was a lot more. I think Van Halen was able to do a lot more with Sammy. And when they came out with that album, well, one of the song that stuck out the most for me was Feeling. I mean, the way they sang mm-hmm. that song, mm-hmm. You could picture in your mind, anybody could sit there and say, yeah, sometimes I don't know what I'm feeling. And then the rest of the album, just sometimes some of it rocks, some of it is just out there. You know?
So you're a Van Hagar guy.
Yes.
Okay.
They definitely
wow.
evolved, I well, think.
See,
with
Paul Belfi
Hagar.
Wants to fight you.
See, the thing is, though.
Well, then why did he take Sammy Hagar in the band draft?
See, the thing.
Should have. Yeah.
He did. Though, that's what got him kicked
out. Oh, that's right. That's right.
The thing with that album, though, it, with Balance, and I will still stick with my Girls, 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 because that's just a phenomenal album. But the thing with Balance is you could just, even in the song Feeling, you could hear the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it, you could hear pain in certain songs. You could hear excitement
the love of the
in
music,
certain songs.
It's all in there.
Well, you talk about variety. There's half votes a piece being cast here by FDH Entertainment editor Samantha Jones. She casts a half vote for Awake by Josh Groban and half a vote for Scream, Aim, Fire by Bullet for My Valentine. So Samantha with her usual amount of variety across the page here. One vote, FDH Academy member Bob Benick voting for British Steel by Judas Priest, so that gets represented. One vote for 10 by Pearl Jam. One for Bob, your vote was On the Border by the Eagles. Love that. Love any of the Eagles stuff in that era.
It's seminal of my kind of music taste, but that album started to be produced by Glyn Johns, who was elected to the Hall of Fame in the last part and ended up being produced after the Eagles. Don Henley kicked him out, and Bill Siknicsik, another producer, Michael Stanley, Joe Walsh, produced the rest of the album. And just from Already Gone to Old 55 to On the Border, any number of songs. I think, like Anthony talked about, another album, which ironically albums are not, now you download singles, you don't get that whole effect of an album. And it was the last album prior to the arrival of Joe Walsh, which I think the Eagles sort of peaked there. We're good throughout, but a great album.
Since you brought up Joe Walsh, have you heard his new song yet?
No.
Analog guy. He's just an analog guy in a digital world. when some 10-year-old smartass is going to show them what to do?
I did hear something about it, yeah. I heard a little something about that. I have not heard it itself, actually. The interesting thing is, Bob's one here, you talk about the golden age of albums, and I think that really was the case. What's the next vote here? Boston by Boston. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
my brother
Jeff
Mike
Neal.
Morris voted for that one. You did. That's right. That's right. Well, we did collectively here during the band draft.
And if you want kind of a tie-in to the fast food chain restaurant thing,
uh-huh.
After he interviewed Jeff Neal from Boston,
yeah.
We had our Tony Mazur was on our show at the time.
Yeah.
And
shout out to T-Maze.
Yep, shout out to T-Maze. Uh-huh. They sent us tickets to see Boston and Kettering. So the three of us decided to go for a road trip. Tony was the one that had the directions. He says, I got the directions set here. Just don't worry about everything. I'll MapQuest everything. I'll get it. He says, all right. Now, it's only a four-hour drive, but we figured we'll stop for dinner somewhere before we get to the show. And Tony would argue that Hardee's is the best chain restaurant ever. Now, Tony said that Hardee's was just off of the expressway, not out of our way.
Half hour off the expressway.
Out of our way to get the Hardee's.
It's a good burger. That is good burger.
Yeah, but a half an hour out of your way, good.
Hardee's is no racks, though. You got to give it off the racks. Got to give it off the racks.
We were driving by
Swenson's, too.
Swenson's, yeah.
We were driving by some college, and I don't even remember what it was, down by Dayton. And I'm looking up. I'm like, I just think we're lost. And he goes, no, two more minutes.
Then he brought up Dick from Dayton. So,
yeah.
Well, when you want to eat Hardee's, you got to eat Hardee's. No question about that.
But Boston album is great. They were great live.
I think Tom Scholl's guitar was just different than anything I had heard previous.
It was amazing. And Bob, I got to tell you, this is a funny story from when we did our band draft. We were drafting the rock band. Guys, Jeff Neal was on the phone as one of the
Jeff
judges
Neal
for
is
it.
The drummer for
yeah,
Boston.
It was a thing where I...
Not the original drummer.
No.
Like Sib was.
There is no... And I'll explain
Sebastian
in a minute.
Sebastian was the...
There is only a tour group. Tom
right.
Scholl's actually does all the music on the album.
Right.
Tom Scholl's, and then they had brought in Brad to sing, and that was the only two that were actually in the band. The rest of it was just
Anthony's first round pick in this thing was Tom Scholl's, and Jason, who was participating in the draft on the phone lines, and not knowing a whole lot about, you know, Boston and realizing about Jeff Neal, what? Oh, that's what a reach. What a horrible pick. It's like, Jason.
With a hand-picked drummer of Tom Scholl's on the phone.
Jason, you might want to stop digging right now, buddy. It fell to me on the air to tell him he needed to quit while he was behind. So that was kind of funny. So we've gone through all the ones, and it's quite an extensive list with one vote apiece. We come to the ones with two votes apiece. Two votes for Thriller by Michael Jackson.
I was surprised that you didn't hear Michael Jackson in there earlier with even one vote for one of his other albums.
Yeah, whether it be Off the Wall or any of the Jackson 5 stuff or whatever.
As many people as they say they don't like Michael Jackson or as many people as are against Michael Jackson, that man could sing.
Yeah.
That man could dance. That man had talent.
You're flat out lying if you don't like at least some of his catalog.
Exactly.
I don't really like the stuff after Thriller. Because I don't like the electronic stuff. I like when it was more the horns and you know harmonies and stuff behind him and stuff.
Van Halen flipping off on the guitar.
Yeah, it's like I don't. Yeah, I. But you
arguably
know,
Thriller would probably be the best of his.
His Apex, yeah, that got two votes.
There was a lot of others that were. I'm surprised nobody picked.
Well, the winner in this one here. We talk about three different Beatles albums being represented. I mentioned one vote for the White Album, one vote for Abbey Road. It's very interesting in this because if I were to tell you there would be three votes in here for different albums, you would think it's at least 50-50 that Revolver would be one of them. It's not. The third one that gets represented, and with four votes, your winner, probably not too surprisingly, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles.
That
got
album.
Four votes.
Can't
That's complain. A real critic's darling, and honestly, there's a couple people who cast the vote who kind of told me that's kind of how they went there. Don't kid yourself. The Rolling Stone top 500 albums things or whatever. I mean, Raymond Smalley pretty much admitted to me that influenced a lot of what he thought on that. What critics think matters.
Now, on that Rolling Stones album, how often do they do that list? And how many times is there a list out there that they do that you've never even heard of the artist?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they just trying to throw out a name on some of these because you never heard of them? Or here you're picking songs that you, you're picking albums that we actually like. You know what I'm saying?
People,
we know
use
the
different
album
criteria, I think. Yeah.
If somebody is basing their selection of their top album off of somebody else's list, then they don't like music.
No.
Right. Yeah,
really,
I mean,
it's personal.
It is personal, and that speaks to the diversity of the bands chosen, because, you know, we've all been in a car and suddenly you hear a song and it's, you know, it's a time warp back to wherever, and you can put yourself right there, and that's one, mm-hmm, I think that's some of the power in music. Yeah.
If you're going to make a list for top albums by how much they sold, that's a different list. This isn't the list that you're talking. This is my understanding what this list is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're picking off of somebody else's list, you're picking somebody else's personal opinion. I mean, my taste differs from John. It differs from Bob's. It differs from yours and Matt. Well, not as much Matt's.
But we're pretty close.
We're pretty close, but it differs. And that's why I agreed with Matt. And all the way up here, I kept thinking, when we get to that, it's going to be 1-1-1-1.
Yeah,
it's going to be
absolutely
like a 30-way absolutely tie for first place.
Yeah, it was, and that wouldn't have surprised me, but we did get a couple here that kind of clumped up. And probably the best note to bring it around on is this. This is something that's going to make John laugh.
Is this going
to
be a last note thing where I can't ruin, shouldn't ruin it like
no,
I did the last segment?
You can. We'll lift the Dundee
as Bob
for Sergeant
holds up
Pepper
the Dundee award for Matt.
We'll induct Sergeant Pepper now before I tell the story. One of the things about the lounge and the relationships thereof is that there are things that go back a long, long, long ways. For example, that I pretty much grew up, at least high school years, on with the Adams Boys here. So something that Johnny will laugh about. My brother, when he sent me back the vote for Boston by Boston, reminded me of a thing here that I dubbed that thing for him one time on a cassette player. You remember the old green van, Johnny, the big old green van?
I do, with
the Bondo that was always on the side.
I do.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
the family vehicle here, one of them anyways, that the one that I was dubbing that for him, but I screwed it up, and like towards the beginning there was like about 10 seconds of just the van idling before it went back to the music.
Nice. Priceless.
I would just say that there were a couple that really surprised me that nothing was picked, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I really thought there might have been something from them on there.
My son wasn't allowed to vote.
Oh. another that really surprised me that wasn't on there was Green Jello.
Yeah, I'm sure you're shocked
he's
that they were not
represented.
He's just name
dropping. He's pulling a page out of yours. Ricky.
I interviewed Green Jello.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the Boston, I've got a funny story with Boston. I've seen Boston twice. Once was in Kettering, Ohio, and once was here at CSU.
And he was cut out of the picture, in the Jeff Neal picture. But
yeah. We got to meet the band in Kettering, and they cut me out of the picture. Story of my life. But at CSU, they were playing. I had 11th row seats, and I decided I'm going to make my way to the stage. And so I did. And mind you, I was half under the weather with alcohol-induced, whatever you want to call it.
I don't think it's under the weather if you're drunk.
No, it kind of is, actually. Whatever you want to call it. I'll just say I was
under the weather is a too value neutral judgment for that.
I'll just say
ahead.
I was feeling no pain.
Okay.
So, but I made it to the front, and there was nobody between me and the stage except for a security guard. And Brad Delp held the microphone out to the song Smoke. And I just threw my hands up in the air, and I'm just singing away, and I'm
waiting
having
like
a blast.
You just didn't care.
Yep. And he held the microphone out, and he pulled it away, and he went over to Tom Scholz, and he missed a whole verse of the song because he thought I was going to grab the microphone when I threw my hands up in the air. And I just, really? I could see him, Tom Scholz, he's pointing, or Brad was pointing straight at me. Wasn't pointing to the good-looking girl next to me or nothing. He was pointing straight at me because he thought I was going to, it's hard to say on the microphone.
Please tell me the story ends with you being cuffed and led away.
Nope. it ends with the hot girl next to me getting the guitar pick that I...
and me getting one, too, standing four rows behind it.
Well, this has been a great mini-episode here. It would have been even better if it ended with the story of Matt Patron in a holding cell.
Didn't get the holding
cell. Yeah, that's unfortunate, but a great one nonetheless.
As
we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.